For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. That's right. For the record, you ain't trying to grow, then it's done for you. That's right. For the record, lab on me going all the way. All the way. For the record, ain't trying to link, no time to waste. Stop calling. For the record, 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 for the record. For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. That's
right. Nick Midgley, he's a man that grew up in the streets of Melbourne, went through crime, drugs, later with addiction, to now inspiring many, many people from his own actions. And I'm going to let him fill you in on the story.
I'd put, you know, heavy drugs in my system from such a young age.
Yeah.
You know, I had no concept of who I was once I put those drugs down, you know. And so
I think, Nick, if you're using it 13 years of age, it just becomes the norm, doesn't it? You know, for anybody trying to tell you different, it's like, well, that's what I do. That's who I am and that's how I've lived. You know, like, fuck, 13. You know what I mean? You just got hairs on your balls.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But, like, you've got to put it in perspective. It'd be very hard for a young person to see life different from that view, but you made massive changes. You've come out of rehab and had an impact on many people's lives, many families' lives in the local community. You basically created a safe place for people to come to and to be healthy, to learn the art of boxing, and you know, to find, I guess, themselves within something great that you know works.
Mate, it was an unbelievable experience, mate. Like, it grew way bigger than what I ever thought, you know. Like I said, I just started in my garage. I actually started in Byron Bay, you know, 12, 13 years ago. I trained my first fighter that had a fight at, like, Condon Bowls Club. But then I sort of, progressively just sort of trained people out of my garage for a bit, and you know, got offered a space in a pretty good visible, you know, gym complex, and you know, opened up my doors there, and yeah, and people just started coming, and you know, the kids or the people that I was training, they fought everyone locally, and you know, had to start finding him fights, you know, elsewhere. And so we did, like, car washes to raise money. We did, like, little shows to raise money, and we bought plane tickets and started taking them around. And, man, then these kids got really good, you know. Like, man, I had a gym full of, like, you know, 15 kids at one point, and, you know, and the promoters knew that if they had any, if anyone had any young kids that they needed fights for from all around the country, they call me up from my, you know, from my garage gym, and we had one at every weight, or someone willing to fight anyone, you know, at that age, you know, from 17 below, and you know, and man, it just went from them, because we were doing these shows to try to raise money for them or for other local charities, you know, like you know, the promotions grew, you know, like there was people willing to sponsor us, because, you know, the money was going to back in the community, to footy clubs, or to, you know, to people in need, and yeah, just sort of gained momentum, and all of a sudden it's like, man, we're, you know, all of a sudden we're doing shows on Foxtel, and even one went on ESPN, and shit. It's just like, what the fuck happened, you know, like
you went from a bloke with a heroin problem in Melbourne to a mentor to a fight promoter, a successful one, who was able to fill a massive auditorium, and where you used to hold your fights was huge. You know, like for a fight night here in Australia, without putting it into a stadium or, you know, a massive entertainment centre, you basically had the numbers.
Yeah, man, they ended up getting really big. They ended up getting really, really big, you know, and just... you know, there's I did a big show in Byron Bay, and you know, I think we had like 1,500 people there, and I was like, fuck, you know, this is massive, you know. And then I linked up with the guys at Dragonfire after that, and we started doing a couple of shows at Seagulls, and Although, unfortunately, what people don't see, you know, like the bigger the show, you know, the bigger the expenses. You know,
job.
I was making more money putting one or two pros on the back of an amateur card at Coogee and Lees Club, probably making twice that than what I was at the Seagulls with 2,500 people in there on Fox, you know. Like, and so, you know, people give promoters a hard time, and man, the reality is, man, like, you know, a lot of promoters really stick their balls in the line, try to give these fighters a good go, you know. I think majority of promoters out there, you know, they've got fighters' best interests in mind too, you know.
How did that make you feel, but Nick, knowing that you are a success? You know, you started to, as you said before, you know, you felt that connection with community. People were entrusting you by sponsoring. People believed in you. You know, you are somebody that people would look up to. How was that feeling for you personally, knowing your demons?
Yeah, mate, it was far-fetched, man. Like, you know, and this is, again, just me being honest, man. Like, I had a big ego with low self-esteem, man. You know, like, people didn't know what was behind that, you know. Like, I always had that fucking skeleton in the closet thinking that, you know, you know, my past going to come back up, my using is going to come back up, you know. If people find out I put needles in my arms, they won't talk to us, and all that shit. And
did it scare you, though? Did it actually give you a sense of shit?
It did, because I tried to sort of talk about it a few times with a few people, and just it always made me feel uncomfortable because I hadn't accepted that myself at that point, you know. I don't know, like, I suppose that, you know, because I hadn't accepted it, you know, and then I wasn't okay with it, and because of it, like, I try to make myself feel okay by living in nice places, driving nice cars,
looking the part, like, you know, so to speak.
Yeah, like, you know, attaching myself to the shows, you know, as the people knew me as the promoter, not as Nick Mitchell, the guy that's got some fucking baggage, you know, like, do you know what I mean? Like, the beauty about being fucking having everything stripped from me at that point, you know, because, man, I'd separated from my wife at that the time, you know, at the time I was still doing shows. So I was separated from my wife. I was using money out of, like, you know, I had a relapse, and so my wife kicked me out, and I was using money out of I'd blown all our savings. I was using money out of the home loan to get drugs, and my wife had cut that out. I had a dealer on the way, and, you know, and couldn't access money because she blocked all the bank accounts. And, I thought about scaling the balcony above the holiday units that I was at, because there was a laptop there, and I was just like, fuck, man, that's, I thought, imagine that, you know, imagine getting fucking pinched for that, you know, like, from where I'd come, you know, from where I'd sort of come.
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely. Yeah. You must have been thinking, am I that 15-year-old again, you know, like, looking for an urn?
Yeah, but because I lost all that, you know, I lost my wife, and, you know, and the family home that we had, and, you know, family got separated, and I was trying to start a new business, and I couldn't get a fucking loan for it because I hadn't settled with my wife. I had to sell my car to pay bills, you know, so I bought $1,000 Daewoo, sold my fucking Hilux, and for living at my mum's place, and fucking had everything stripped from me at one point, man, you know. I was like, man, you know, but after all that, I thought, fuck, everyone knows my shit now. I might be living at my mum's place, I might be driving a fucking $1,000 Daewoo. Everyone knows my shit, everyone knows me as me. But you know what? This is the first time I've actually been fucking happy in my life. I've got, like, you know,
like the backpack, the big backpack's off. You just
you
took the weight, like, off, man, and then fuck it, this is where it is, I'm leaving it right here.
That's right, I've got no ego now, I've been fucking completely humbled, you know. You know, it's like, man, I was like, I'm kind of all right with myself now. I'm not using drugs, you know, I'm starting to make fucking, you know, peace with my fucking, my past, and, you know, I'm making apologies, or, you know, like, you know, to the ones that I hurt, my ex-wife, and, you know, my kids, other people, you know, I won't mention on this, you know.
No, you're right, bro.
Mate, yeah, but you know, I had to make a lot, you know, I had to make good with a lot of people, and I was doing that, you know. I fucking got my, I got my integrity back, and you know, humbly fucking, you know, fucking fixed up the people I owed money to, and did all that fucking shit, and I got my self-respect back, and slowly but surely, you know, like mate, I've you know, I'm back living in, living with a housemate of mine. We're training really well, training every day, and I've got 13 months, clean sober together now, and starting up a new business, which I'm fucking rapt about, man. Met the love of my life, because she's got a beautiful girl now, man. And mate, just mate, things are good, man. You know, I'm probably showing up for my children. My children have got me as their dad now, and mate,
Do you use anything today to keep you away from using again, or have you done it completely natural and clean to the point where you're off everything?
Yeah, no, I've done it completely natural and clean, mate. Unreal. Look, mate, I've done the naltrexone implants, yeah. I've done the methadone, I've done the bup, I've done fucking everything, mate.
Well
mate,
done,
nothing
to
you, works. It's not the substance, man. It's the inability to cope. It's the inability to sit with ourselves. It's the inability to process emotions and stuff. And mate, you know, like, on an intellectual level, man, I knew what anger was, I knew what sadness was, and I knew what fucking, fear was or whatever, but I never felt anything, man. You know, the second I feel anything, man, the second I felt uncomfortable, I'd usually get angry, and then I'd get angry, I'd do some stupid shit, and then I'd use because I'd be ashamed about what I did. That was my cycle, man. No one ever told me that it's okay to be sad, to sit with your sadness, sit with your grief, Yeah, like I had a friend just pass, and I had to spend a day to myself just fucking feeling that, because if I don't feel that, if I don't actually process that, then man, I'll just become a cunt to the rest of some people.
Well, you start to suppress, don't you? You know, everything gets pushed down, and then it just stacks up. You become that ass again.
Well, everything comes out, man. Whether we like it or not, doesn't matter how tough we think we are, everything will come out, And if we don't, if I don't sit with that, like fucking and deal with it, then man, I might get short with my missus who doesn't deserve it, or I might start yelling at my kid or whatever, like, it becomes unhealthy, it's no one else's shit, it's my shit. I always gotta fucking sort with it, sit with it for a bit and deal with it. And I understand that now, it's nice to actually have a bit of an answer for it now, become a bit of a normal functioning human being. But that's the shit that we should be told at school. Like, why don't we have a class called Feel to Heal or whatever the fuck, Mate, instead we get taught about fucking, fucking biased histories and stuff like that, man.
Politics, day, politics.
We're not taught how to actually fucking live in this world, We're not taught fucking, how to actually properly connect with other people,
I think
find that stuff really sad.
It is. And I personally, and we talked about this earlier in our chat, the power of lived experience, I think that it's... It is valuable, and the sad thing is, and I get it, look, I do get part of it, for anyone to go into a school, they've got to do a full background check and all this sort of shit. Now, we have a past, we have a background, It's, I get pulled over by the coppers, in a truck doing my job there 2 weeks ago, the first thing he says, oh, you're still a gang member, mate, fucking 13 years ago, I move forward, let it go, let me live my life. But unfortunately, these anchors are still always going to be attached, whether you like it or not. It doesn't change the fact that we're not doing good or trying to help people or give people some sort of guidance to not go down the paths that we've experienced. And I think that your valid point there is through education. I think education is key. But lived experience carries so much fucking weight. If they just gave us a little bit more of a gap through a door, you're not going into a school or getting into a mentoring group to sell kids drugs or, teach kids bad habits. You're there to show kids and young people of today what we've been through, what you're talking about now, what the clink's about, to hopefully not see them go down these paths and through that revolving door, because it's a no-win.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. I mean, that's all I wanted to do today, man. I'm actually opening up it's a drug and alcohol rehab, so to speak, but it's more just like a, it's more of an addiction retreat, Like, man, we want to sort of break away from the, from that flawed system of, like, you know, needing to take a drug to feel okay, and, you know, like the overdiagnosed, you know, antidepressants and stuff like that. You know, there's a time and a place that, you know, these prescription pills aren't needed, but, man, we want to get people, you know, properly healing themselves, man, because, man, we've got a self-healing nature, you know, like we have an ability to heal ourselves, man. If we cut ourselves, man, like our cut will heal. And it's the same as our self, man. It's our internal self's no different, man. You know, if we take out all the other agitators, all the other stuff, all the other stimulants that this world, you know, gives us and stuff like that, you know, it's like they sell us stuff like fucking, you know, you got America, you know, every second TV show is like, you know, if you got fear, you got anxiety and stuff like that, man, you know, and so they give you a prescription pill for it, you know. It's like,
take,
man,
a Xanax.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, what the fuck is anxiety? Anxiety is just like, man, it's just, they're just fear-based thoughts, you know. So it's just anxious thoughts that we're fucking, that we attach to, you know. And like, there's ways that, you know, that I've practiced it, that, you 100%. Know, that I want to help other people sort of discover too. Man, you know, like, I get a bit insecure talking about this stuff too, man. I got a mum that was a little bit, you know, went through a bit of a spiritual path herself, and my sister was a yoga instructor. I mean, I grew up my whole life taking the piss out of him and stuff like that too, so I'm fucking a bit self-conscious about it too. But, man, I'll spend every Tuesday.
Yeah, but hang on, don't be self-conscious. It's a learning fucking process. Like, let me ask you something. Let me ask you something, right? As a fighter, and we've both been over them ropes, okay? So we know that feeling of getting in there, the effort you put in, and we've both had a loss. Now, you tell me that feeling of a loss. You don't walk out there going, I'm a fucking loser. You're going out there and go, I learned. I didn't lose, I learned. Do you know what I mean? And it's no different to what you're saying there. You know, like, you're now educated about the things that you find that are positive and will work for you in life and successful. So give yourself a little bit more credit there, brother.
Nah, look, 100%. Yeah, probably used it. Probably worded it wrong. Was like, you know.
Yeah, you fucking did. Yeah, you did.
but mate, the reality is, if I'd have heard myself talking the way I do now 2 years ago, I would have given myself an uppercut and told myself to pull my head in. You know. But the reality is, man, like, what I'm actually sort of like trying to sort of share with other people these days, man, is like a self-healing, self-aware, you know, program, man, you know, like, man, I've been blessed, man, like, I don't really know how it sort of came about, man, but, like, I, ended up having, like, came across a Buddhist monk that taught me how to meditate and sort of became, you know, about to sit with myself and about to sort of, like, find answers within myself and realize what I'm actually capable of doing, you know, and realize that I don't need anything else, you know, and, like, you know, I don't need anything outside of myself to cultivate happiness, man, you know. If I need, you know, like I did the other week, you know, like, I hope my missus doesn't mind talking about, but we had a little break, we split for a couple of days, had my eldest make an attempt to move out, and, you know, and I lost my best mate, you know, so my three biggest loves in my life all, you know, leave within a couple of days, so to speak. You know, but after, I hurt a bit, it hurt a lot. But what it did, you know, I realized I became okay with myself. I'm finally really okay with myself that I haven't attached my happiness onto any of them.
But, Nick, did you then go and find a dealer and have a shot?
Nah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I didn't.
So the right there, brother, that tells you and tells me and those that are listening how far you have come. Because as you said earlier, the one thing you would always do is the moment you felt any emotion or anything like that, you would just go have a shot. You'd get stoned 100%. And it would fix your problem. Yet you're now openly speaking about your life, your story. I won't say your past because it's your story. And how much you now are able to speak openly and share it with others so that, you know, your actions are speaking louder than your words. Right now, you just had everything in your corner that would normally trigger you to go and have a shot.
Yeah.
You didn't. Yeah. So that right there is a fucking huge win, mate.
Yeah, and it's not an option now, man. I just don't see it. I don't see it as an option, man. You know, it's just, mate, life's an incredible thing, man, and like these things can come up in life, man. Life's got its, you know, it throws curveballs at you, you know. But mate, there's lessons in everything, man. You know, like, man, we can either become a victim to it and go, oh, fucking, this shit fucking happened to me again, fucking suck about it and stuff.
I'm fucking addicted to mountain biking. I'm a mountain bike addicted. Fucking, I've got an addiction again.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
But it's a good addiction.
Channeling it better now, mate. You know, like, mate, it's Look, I mean, look, mate, people addicted to anything. Hey,
that's what you said earlier.
We've got a whole world. We live in a whole world of society where people running away from themselves, man. Whether it be with like work, social media, their phones, fucking, you know, ego, you know, power, sex, you know, music, fucking drugs, alcohol, whatever. Man, people gambling, fucking people are just running away from themselves. They do that because they can't fucking actually sit with themselves, man, you know. So whatever it is, man, you know. And like, man, I play it too, man. Like, you know, fucking the other week, you know, like I started training a lot again and stuff. I can watch my eating and stuff momentarily, not for too long. But that's what we do, you know. Like, man, like fucking we get a little bit of pain or a little bit of discomfort, you know. Like, yeah, we'll deal with some, but you know, we can't sit there too long, otherwise fucking it hurts, so we latch onto something else, you know. But you know, momentarily, man, if you you got your mountain bike, man, if you're jumping your mountain bike for a bit like, while you're sort of fucking processing your shit, fuck, it's better than, better than the other shit we used to do, bro.
That's exactly the other shit we used to do. Fuck, know what? And that was the thing, you know, like here I was, you know, 10 days ago sitting in jail again, you know, for something that fucking I now have to fight that I know that I'm in the right for. And that's something that I've always said, that if you're in the right, stand staunch to the death. You know what I mean? If you're in the wrong, be a man and put your hand up and deal with it. 100%. You know, unfortunately, now I have to now confront this. And, you know, me coming out of that situation, I've lost my job, I've lost my fucking business, I've lost everything because of the conditions of what now I've got to deal with. But I'm like, fuck, I could throw it all away. I could go and make quick earns. I could do this. I could do that. But where's that going to put me? You know what I mean? Yeah. I've got a beautiful family that's stuck by me. I've got a wife that's been by my side for 17 years. You've got good people around you. You know what? Like, at the end of the day, I'm not going to choose that choice and make that mistake again. You know, because like yourself, you know, your son. But then you go and make that choice and all of a sudden there's the roll-on effect. Your son sees again and again, dad just fucking up. Going down the same. Sooner or later, it's just going to come to the point where, well, fuck, you know what? That's what I know best, you know? Yet, that's not who you are. You are a good father. You are a great fucking human. You're a caring man, you know what I mean? You're passionate about what you do. You give. And here you are now. You've started a retreat, is it, that you said? What's the retreat called and where is it? Let's talk a bit more about that, Nick, because I think that is such a fucking amazing thing to be giving back.
Yeah, cool, man, cool. I mean, it's called Hope and Health, and mate, it's a program that I've developed, you know, that I truly live, man. You know, so it's about, you know, balancing your emotional health, physical health, and spiritual health. You know, it's all balance, man. It's all balance. Like, if we go too far one way, you know, if we train too hard and stuff like that, you know, and we don't look after our emotional health or spiritual health, man, like we become vain, we become fucking insecure.
Is that like being obsessive about something, Nick?
Yeah, it is, you know, but in saying that, physical health is really important too, man, you know, like, man, we've got to make sure we look after the bodies that we've got, you know, and we've got to make sure we look after emotional health, which is like, you know, the family relationships and stuff like that, and how we function in the world and how we become less reactive, more responsive, and, you know, and just sort of like, you know, how we live in a community and all the rest of it too. And then we have our spiritual health, you know, so our mindful practices and stuff like that, you know, and that's the stuff that I sort of ventured into with, you know, my meditation and yoga and just doing anything that's sort of like, you know, connects us to ourselves. Like, breath work is a massive one for
How
us
good
as well.
Is breath work? I've been working with a wonderful man with, his name's Lino, up here on the Gold Coast with Men's Medicine. Mate, fuck, I went and did a real powerful breathwork session with him maybe 2.5 months ago now. And it was to go deep into the traumas of my, you know, sexual abuse as a kid and the things that I went through and bringing it all up and letting it go. The breath work that we did and then the continuing on. I'm not going to bullshit. I need to do it because I stopped doing it. You know what I mean? Things got stressful and I fucking threw it out the window. When you just mentioned breath work, then it was triggered for me. I just went, fuck, that makes me feel so good.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a powerful thing.
Man, it's phenomenal, hey? You know, physically, breath is life, you know. The yogis call it pranayama, you know, like prana, you know, for life. That's what the yogis call life, you know. And breathing, there's ways to do it. There's all different ways to do it, you know. And the way we normally breathe, we breathe really shallow, which is, you know, really when we're living our lives, like, you know, that slow breath like is a real shallow breathing, like survival instincts. So we're living a fucking, you know, fuck all of our natural, you know, our natural selves, you know, like, you know, there's studies showing that, you know, like good breath can, like, you know, it can wake you up, it can help you sleep, it can boost your immune system, you know, red blood cells, and you know, like, man, if I'd have known about breath work, you know, and training, you know, I would have trained so much better as well, you know.
Yeah.
But, mate, it's a phenomenal thing to sort of, to help people, not just deal with traumas like it's helped you, but, mate,
everyday life.
Just cohesive. Yeah, just cohesively just helps me live. Like, I do it before I do it when I wake up, and I do it before I go to sleep,
When you say, Nick, you do it before you go to sleep, can we talk to me? I'll talk to our listeners. I want to know a little bit more about that. Like, for me, I found that I got energy. So how do you do breath work to then slow you down?
There is different types of breath work too. Like, so in the mornings, like, I'll do like, you know, quick breathing through my nose, you know, breath holes and breathe out and all the rest of it. Sort of stimulates the mind, gets the mind sort of going. And at night and the evening, I'll do sort of just, you know, breathing through my mouth and, you know, slow, long breaths through the mouth. And, you know, you do a bit of relaxation music and then, you know, a couple of breath holes too. You know, it does sort of wake the brain up in a bit of a meditative state too. And it's just not so buzzy from what the sort of like the morning, you know, quick nose breathing, breath holds does. And but yeah, you know, I do it throughout the day if I need to sometimes, you know, even if I'm driving the car, man, I might just do like two minutes of good breathing and just sort of like, man, resets your nervous system and your physiology.
Doing it in the car one day when they were fighting. I was driving and I was fucking pissed. I was like, shut the fuck up. Next thing I went, okay, we're all going to do breath work. I turned the music on. I said, my wife looked at me and she goes, what are you doing? I said, just shut up and breathe. Just shut up and breathe. Everybody breathe. They said, I had the whole car breathing. I'm driving. I'm trying to coach the breath. You know, in out, two, three, four, in. And then I was like, and hold. And my kids are like, but Dad, I said, shut up, fucking hold. It was a great trip after that. It was a really good thing.
It's so cool. So how good is it that you're doing that shit with your kids, man? Like, it's great. It's awesome, man. It's awesome.
It is.
Man, I got introduced to it, like, you know, at the end of a men's workshop one day, you know. I did it and I thought, man, same as you. Like, heaps of shit got released. Got really, just started yelling and all this shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Me, man, like, all the bottled up shit.
Yep.
But, mate, but then I sort of thought, man, there was something in that for me. I later ended up doing like some breath work on the beach with a group of guys that do it down the beach. And then I ended up doing like a breath work course and you know, I sort of investigated a little bit and sort of, you know, I thought, man, this stuff's incredible, you know, and made, you know, and like, you know, I started doing yoga when I was in rehab myself, and, you know, my partner's now a yoga instructor, so she sort of, you know, coached me, you know, a little bit more on that, you know, and mate, just being able to find sort of like, you know, that
yoga's
sort of,
fucking, you know, hard, making, fucking hard.
It is. It depends, man. It depends on who you learn.
Yeah,
from,
well, it depends how big you are too. 132 kilos, trying to stretch and pose and reach around, and I like it. I do like it. But
sure, it's good. It's all the same shit. It's all that connection to breath, man. You know, breath is everything. You know, it's connecting your body to breath, you know. And the big part of the rehab is, man, we're going to get people outside in nature because nature's, you know, Mother Nature's best healer.
Sure.
And we're getting people into the gyms exercising or outside exercising, getting people meditating into yoga and we've got really good therapists on board too to sort of give people the actual, you know, the proper therapy they need as well.
So you have professionals with you on board with this?
100%.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah,
100%.
Nick.
We've got doctors, nurses, and we've got psychologists and
where's the location and how does somebody get into contact with yourself or, you know, your team or fill us in a little bit more.
It's in Pottsville. We actually opened our doors on the 31st of this month, you know. But like,
fuck, what about COVID, yeah, you know, eh?
Yeah, look, it's shit. It's shit. It's not ideal for anyone, you know. We've just sort of got to sort of work around it too. But, you know, at the moment, no, rehabs are struggling for beds, you know. So it's, just being able to sort of be in a position that, you know, at the back end of COVID when people's mental health is really deteriorating and they start acting out and drugs and alcohol become a byproduct of the acting out, you know. I want to be in a position where I can help these people, open my doors up to them and give them another way of life, you know, because the problem is if they go to get help and they go to see a doctor, you know, a doctor's just going to prescribe them pills and stuff like that, you know, so we just want to be a different outlet.
The thing is, Nick, I've noticed I've tried to help a couple of people that I know over the years and we've tried to get them into rehab and the hardest thing is that window period of not using and getting in, which as somebody who was supporting someone with a habit, I found it fucking frustrating and I could only imagine what he was going through thinking that he was going to get some help and hope and he was ready, but yet you got to keep checking in every 2 to 3 weeks. You got to be clean for this period. Yeah,
seven month waiting list for the public system.
Yeah, man. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that? Because I don't think people understand, you know, we talk about rehab and we talk about people getting help. The help's not just fucking there, is it? It's actually a tough road to get help when you want to get right.
It is, you know, like it is a really difficult one because the public system, you know, I won't speak for all of them, and a couple of them that I know, and they've got a 5 to 7 month waiting list on them.
That's crazy.
You know, people die in that time, man. By the time someone needs help, you know, like when they're actually reaching out for help, they're at the end, you know.
That's right, man.
Five to seven months is really, really dangerous, you know. And especially once they've got that rehab date, then they go, well, fuck, I've got a date for rehab, and they're using usually goes out of control then too, if it's not already out of control. But, there are private options, my rehab being one of them too, but, you know, private options, they're not always the easiest to get into either, you know, like...
So yours is classed as a private?
Yeah, it is, yeah. Yep. Yeah. Mainly been because of, you know, being a little bit left field to what's been done before as well too. Sure. You know, like we don't fall into the usual sort of system, but the private rehabs, they are expensive, even though family members sort of, like, you know, they come in and sort of chip in the money and all the rest of it. Like a lot of them can't take or won't take people with real bad drug habits, you know, because a lot of them, they're not actually detox centers, so they have to detox first. And I know a lot of detoxes are, you know, they're busy as well, and, you know, a lot of people can't get beds, you know, when they need them, you know.
Nick,
people,
what would you give to somebody that's listening to this right now as advice, speaking from somebody who's been there, someone who understands the system, someone who truly gets it? What would you say to somebody that's hearing this now and going, fuck, I need help, I want to reach out, I'm still using, but, you know, I've had enough. Like you said, they're at that most vulnerable part. What would you say? How would you, you know, help them?
The biggest piece of advice I would give anyone is, you know, is don't go down the route of taking replacement drugs, you know, like, you know, it's not the shit that they're, you know, it's, it's a flawed system when you think you need to take a drug to get off a drug, you know, and the second you start going down that rabbit hole, you know, you end up just with a life sentence picking up a dose from a pharmacist, you know, and you know, it's
there is better help. You're referring to methadone and bup and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, bup and stuff like that too, you know, like you know, if someone's really serious about giving it all up, you know, there are ways to sort of give it all up, you know, like there are rehabs, and I'm actually not one of them. There are rehabs that do, like, you know, methadone reduction and stuff like that, and you know, and there are places that sort of you know, that detox people of quite high doses and stuff. And I just from my own experience, and you know, horses for course, but from my own experience, man, the life worth living when you actually sort of can give up everything and sit with yourself without needing anything else is the life worth living post drugs, you know, like
it's a tough road, isn't it? It is.
It's a really tough road, man. Especially when they're at that point, man. The level of despair that you're in when you're sort of reaching out for rehabs and detox, man. Because no one wants to go to a fucking.
But Nick, it's the rejection too. You know? Like you're at that point where you're obviously sick to fucking death of the daily battle. You know what I mean? Of just trying to get well, because you know it becomes a sickness. Yes, it's an addiction. Yes, using a drug, but you become ill. Sick, ill, and your body just shuts down to the point where you shit and piss yourself, vomit, and you know, can't fucking move, function unless you have that hit. You know, for someone that's willing to put themselves through that to get wellness, you know, I think that it must be extremely hard mentally, and unfortunately, you know, a lot of people don't make it. They continue to use, or they take their lives and feel that that's the only way out to stop it. You know, it's. Yeah. There's got to be something greater out there that, you know, we can do in reference to, you know, helping the way that the world is, especially in our country, with the use of, you know, high drugs such as, you know, these powerful drugs that are on the streets today.
Yeah, it's sort of what we spoke about before, you know, when people are sort of reaching for these heavy drugs or, you know, or contemplating suicide and stuff like that, you know. They're as far away connected from themselves as they could ever be, you know, and I think in general as a social, you know, responsibility, you know, it's just that, reaching out to people and in need, and you know, sort of doing what we're doing, sort of bringing this stuff into
talking about it,
you know, so it gets people feeling like, you know, it's an okay thing to do, you know, because it's man, you know. At the end of the day, mate, no one should be fucking blowing their heads off or fucking sticking needles in their arm and stuff like that. You know, that's a real illness in humanity, and like that's a real spiritual death, man. Like a real fucking something that no human being should ever have to experience. You know, so I don't know, man, just reach out to people that aren't doing too well, especially in these sort of times like this, you know, like, this is when people, you know, really experience, like, disconnection and stuff like that too, and disconnection is, connection is a human need, like, it's proven, you know, connection is a human need as much as drinking, you know, as much as drinking water and eating food.
100%, you know? connection is huge.
It's a human need.
Huge.
It's a human need, you know.
Nick, what are the details, mate? Where can we find you, your wonderful retreat?
At hopeandhealth.com.au. And there's a pre-launch website that's already up and running, and you know, our main website will be up next week. And, just give us a call, and if I don't pick up directly, I'll refer you on to the people that need to, and we want to be there. Want to be there to help anyone in need. So, and if I can't personally help that person, and I feel like I can refer people onto the people that I need to, you know. So, I'm just happy to put myself out there as someone that can be contacted if needed.
Nick, I just want to say to you, mate, hold your head up high. You should be very, very proud of the man that you are. You know, you've walked.
Thank you, brother.
To me, no one's story or journey is any stronger or better or any worse than anybody else's. We all share the same emotions. We all go through very similar paths, some stronger than others, some take it harder than others. You know, for you to fight your demons is a powerful fight. You know, I know you can box. I know that, you know, you can get in there and you can teach people. But to actually walk away from an addiction such as heroin, to flip your life, to admit, put yourself out there like you have done, mate, congratulations. I should say, yeah, it's an honour to have you on the clink. And I wish you nothing but greatness. And I really would love to talk to you further down the track, you know, after maybe 12 months of your business up and running, and just get a feel for where you're at, and maybe let people know how well it is doing and, you know, the people that you have been able to help. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Thank you for having me on too, man. I would love to come back and fill you in on the progress, man. Love that.
Well, there you have it, guys. Another story from the Clink. Stories of Redemption. A very powerful story there. And we will put up the details for Nick's retreat. And you can contact him directly or any of his staff and reach out. Remember, guys, you're not alone. And speak up. It's not weak to speak. As you've just heard in our conversation today, it's very powerful in healing and also to, you know, coming forward from any darkness. Thank you very much. This is The Clink.
For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. That's right. For the record, you ain't trying to grow, then it's done for you. That's right. For the record, lab on me going all the way. All the way. For the record, ain't trying to link, no time to waste. Stop calling. For the record, 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 for the record.